This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We always start in the name of Allah. Why? Why? Speak aloud, my brother. Because he is the greatest. That is called Tawheed. The minute you say Bismillah, you have started in the name of the One. Why? Because the oneness of Allah is called Tawheed. What is it called? Tawheed refers to the oneness of Allah. In your life, whether you know it or not, you have this inclination to Allah because He is your maker. You either nurture that or you destroy it based on several factors. So we started off by saying Bismillah. In the name of who? Allah. The hadith says whoever starts off with anything important without the name of Allah, that will be cut, void of barakah, void of blessings, void of everything else. So whatever good you are doing, you shall start with Bismillah. You shall start with Bismillah. Because we believe in Allah, He is the one who's going to grant us success. That's already Tawheed. He is the one who's going to grant us success. Success means to achieve your goal, what you want. What is the ultimate success? To get Jannah. But there are small successes in this world, such as perhaps you want to pass in your examinations, you want to be content, etc., etc. All this is little successes. But we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We started off by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we say, Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillahi. We send blessings and salutations upon who? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Can someone tell me why? If you are not going to raise your hand, I will have to choose. I will have to pick. Yes, why?
Allah told us to.
Allah told us to. Why else? Why else? Another reason. Why do we have to send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For what? Yes. Because he's the perfect creation of Allah. That's part of the answer. Because Allah chose him to be sent to us, to teach us the goodness. When someone teaches you something good, you need to respect them. You need to pray for them. You need to acknowledge their status. When Allah tells you the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has the highest status, in that particular case, you need to acknowledge it the way Allah wants you to acknowledge it. So Allah says, if you are a person who can acknowledge that I have sent such and such a person to you to teach you goodness, and if you are ready to acknowledge that by saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way I taught you, I'm going to bless you 10 times more because you've now understood my plan. Subhanallah. Man salla alayya wahidatan sallallahu alayhi biha ashra. Whoever sends blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Allah blesses them tenfold. Because they've understood that Allah is the one who chooses. That again is Tawheed. Allah is the one who chooses, the only one who has the power and the ability to raise people and to drop them. He is Allah. If Allah has raised you, none can drop you. That is actually Tawheed, it's Aqeedah. We believe that Allah alone, He is the one whom if He raises you, nobody can drop you. And if He drops you, nobody can raise you. That is Allah. Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So we start this way every time. The moment we open our mouths as Muslims, we are speaking of Tawheed. We are speaking of Tawheed. But I don't need to tell you that we're speaking of Tawheed. I need to believe it. I need to understand it. I need to know it. But I don't need to keep repeating, this is Tawheed, that's Tawheed, this is Aqeedah, that is, etc. I don't need to keep saying that, because if I do that, people are going to run away. They're going to say, this man, he's actually boring us. A'udhu billah. People are weak. But we need to speak about it and explain it to people in a way that they are interested in it. I give you another example. Whenever I start, some of you might have heard my lectures before. Put up your hands if you've heard my lectures before. MashaAllah, put your hands down. Okay. So I always start by saying, praise be to Allah. You heard that? Alhamdulillah, isn't it? Praise be to Allah. Then what do we say? The Creator, that's Tawheed. I believe he's the Creator. No one has created besides Allah. The Nourisher. Have you heard me say that? Have you heard me say the Nourisher? The Creator, Nourisher, Cherisher, Sustainer, Provider, Protector. Have you heard me say that? I've said it more than a million times in nearly all my talks. Why? Because that is the basis of aqeedah. It's the basis of my belief. Allah is the creator. Nobody's created me. Nobody is owed anything upon the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is unique. That is what we believe. So He is the creator. He is the nourisher. He is the cherisher. He is the provider. He is the protector. He is the one in whose hands lies. What lies in the hands of Allah? Control of entire existence. Wow. Wow. We have praised Allah and declared who He is. We are actually telling you who Allah is. That's the basis of our belief, our aqeedah. It's the basis of tawheed. That's what it's all about. So this is why when a Muslim is really bothered about his or her link with Allah, he starts analyzing these things and looking into them and making sure he realizes, look, I will worship Allah alone because He made me. Do you read salah? Do you fulfill your salah? You do. Okay. So you put your head on the ground, right? For who? For Allah. Anyone here puts their head on the ground for anyone besides Allah? Put up your hand. No, we will never do that because sujood is only for Allah. Only for Allah. You cannot prostrate for anyone besides Allah. Allah is the one. He is the owner. He is the deity who made you and I, the supreme, the everlasting, the one who existed before and the one who shall exist forever. There is no beginning or end. It's Allah. How? There are certain things we will understand and certain things we won't understand, but we believe. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You find others, they tell you, oh, my Lord is so and so. And they give you a name of a person. He's my Lord. Okay? And we always say, no. Your Lord cannot be a person like you and I, who look like you and me, who is like you. My Lord, I haven't seen Him, but I know His names and qualities and I believe them without adjusting them. I believe them without adjusting them. That itself is tawheed. When you believe in the names and qualities of Allah, I don't need to adjust these. I won't. But what I do know is that He is the one. Because I haven't seen Him, but I've known about Him and I'm looking forward to seeing Him. It cannot be another person like me. If someone says, who is your personal savior? What's your answer? Who is your personal savior? What's your answer? Who's your personal savior? Allah. Who's your personal savior? Allah. Say it loudly. Who is your personal savior?
Allah.
Allah. Don't be mistaken. My creator is my personal savior. The one whom I'm going to return to when I die is my personal savior. That's what Muslims believe. We will not say Moses is my personal savior. May peace be upon him. Muhammad, peace be upon him. My personal savior. Jesus, peace be upon him. My personal savior. My personal savior is the one who made me. He who made me. And that's it. Subhanallah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love him. We believe he's the best of creation. The most noble of all prophets. I'm sure you've heard me say that as well. He is the best of creation, the most noble of all prophets. We love him. We revere him. We respect him. We acknowledge his status. We send blessings and salutations upon him time and again. No amount of blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is enough. We will continue repeating and repeating and repeating. But we will never render a single act of worship for any Nabi of Allah, for any prophet of Allah. We will never render an act of worship. That itself is belief. It's the core of belief. When you know, I respect the Prophet, peace be upon him, but I'm not going to put my head on the ground for him. No way. No way. Have we ever been taught to put our head on the ground to a Prophet of Allah, no matter how high he is? Never, never. We won't do that because we believe in Allah. And that belief is so solid that it's all about Allah and Allah alone when it comes to worship. When it comes to respect, yes, we respect each other as well on different levels. We respect the messenger, peace be upon him, on the highest level, subhanallah, because Allah chose him. So remember this. Why am I starting this way? Because today we are going to speak about Suratul Ikhlas. The name of the surah was given as the surah connected to your heart. To your heart, because some people can say things but they can do other things. Some people can say things but they can mean other things. But Allah alone knows the condition of your heart. So this is why we say, when you judge someone's heart, There's a major disaster. There's something wrong with your tawheed. Why? Because who is the judge of the hearts?
يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ
Allah alone is the one who knows the deception behind the sight, and He is the one who knows what's deep in the hearts. Allah alone knows. If I'm sitting here, can I tell you what you are thinking right now? Can I tell you? Do you think I know what's in your heart? No. If I guess correctly, maybe because I know you well, I can tell you, I think you're probably thinking of food right now. Maybe because my guess is because you were here so early and you've been sitting and you've been waiting and so on. So you might just be thinking of food, but I'm only guessing. There was a fortune teller who went to a person. To go to a fortune teller, you've already played with your iman. You are playing with your iman. To go to a fortune teller is disbelief. If you believe what they have to say, if you're going to them in order to listen to them, to believe what they have to say, that is disbelief. How can you say, I believe in Allah, but there's someone else who also knows my future? Wow. So there was a brother, the fortune teller actually went to him and told him, I want to tell you your future. He said, I don't want. And he walked away. It was at an airport. He says, no. He was walking with his wife. He says, I want to tell you your future. Just give me $5. So the brother says, I don't want to know my future. I really. And he kept walking. And this guy kept walking behind. You know, sometimes when people sell things to you, the street kids sometimes, they want to sell things to you. They actually come with a little packet of whatever. And they keep following you. They keep following you for a long, long time. And they want to sell it to you. Have you seen that? Because they are desperate. They want to earn halal sometimes. So this guy, it was the other way around. It wasn't a matter of earning halal, but he just wanted to con the people. So he says, I'm a fortune teller. I can tell you your fortune. Give me $5. Fortune meaning your future. The brother says, no. No, no, no. I don't want to know. He kept walking until he sat down after some time at a certain place in order to rest with his spouse or to eat or whatever it was. And this guy came and sat next to the wife at a bit of a distance and started saying loudly, you're going to live for 72 years. You're going to do this and you're going to have so much and you're going to be struggling in this. And he started rattling out. But they didn't want to know. They are mu'mineen, believers. So when he finished his sentence, he said, right, give me my $5. Give me my $5. Do you know what the Muslim said? If you really knew the future, you would know there's no $5 coming your way. You understand? If you really knew the future, you would know I'm not even going to give you $5. So what do you know? You know nothing. Subhanallah. So what I'm trying to show you is sometimes because they deal with the jinn and they deal with other other things and so on, dirty, that which you're not supposed to do as a Muslim, they might come up with one or two things that might be true about you. Don't be deceived. We believe in Allah. We will not believe those who want to tell us the future or who claim to know what's inside of our hearts. Sometimes you have a person and they tell you, I know what's in your heart, you're not a Muslim. You're actually just a cheat and a deceiver and a hypocrite and so on and so forth. How do they know? They themselves need help. May Allah grant us ease. Okay, so whenever you hear Bismillah, you must immediately think Tawheed. Did you hear what I just said? When you hear Bismillah, you must say, yes, it's Allah alone. We don't say Bismi anyone else. Never. It's Allah alone. And when we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, those are qualities of Allah. Qualities, names of Allah. What are the qualities? Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, they are connected to the mercy of Allah. They are connected to the mercy of Allah. Some scholars actually say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is a part of every surah. But the general opinion of the majority is that it's not a part of every surah, but rather it is read before the surah. Besides one surah, and that is Surah Al-Bara'ah. Anyway, I don't want to get too technical because I know you might doze off. You might doze off. Am I getting too technical? Some are saying yes and some are saying no. Okay. So, Ar-Rahman is actually a quality of the mercy of Allah that encompasses absolutely all His creatures. Sometimes you see people who are not good, their qualities are not good, but you know what? They are really, really successful in life according to the dunya. You see a person, but these people are not good people, but they are so successful in the world. They have wealth, they have money, they have everything. You know what Allah says? أَفَمَنْ وَعَدْنَاهُ وَعْدًا حَسَنًا فَهُوَ لَاقِيهِ كَمَنْ مَتَّعْنَاهُ مَتَاعَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا ثُمَّ هُوَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ Is he who has been promised, a true promise of paradise, who has been promised a promise of paradise? You and I, am I right? Who wants to go to Jannah? Put up your hand. Who wants to go to Jannah? Put up your hand. Subhanallah. May Allah grant us Jannah. Say Ameen. Okay, I see both hands. May Allah give you a bigger Jannah. Ameen. All of us, inshallah. So, remember, Allah says, is he who has been promised a true promise and he's definitely going to get it, equal to the one who we've given a lot in this world, but on the day of judgment is going to be punished. Are the two equal? Let me give you an example. I heard a scholar recently give this example and I want to give it to you. He says, imagine if someone has passed away and in their will they have written 1 billion for you. Out of 20, 30 billion, that 1 billion was just less than even a small fraction. They've written 1 billion for you. And someone phoned you and told you that, you know what? There is 1 billion for you. Are you listening? There is how much for you?
1 billion.
MashaAllah. When you get it, please give me some. Huh? Okay. So there is 1 billion for you. SubhanAllah. Right? But it's going to take 1 year to process all the paperwork before you can get the billion. Right? But you are such a poor person, you can't even afford food properly right now. What will happen? Wallahi, for that one whole year, you are excited, even though you might be a person on the street. Why are you excited? Because you're going to get how much?
1 billion.
You're also going to get 1 billion. I didn't know that. I thought it was him, mashallah. No, it's all of us, inshallah. Okay, so imagine you are going to get 1 billion after 1 year, but already you are so excited because you know you've been told by a human being that your name is in somebody's will and a billion is coming to you. So your excitement started from the day you found out. I want to let you know, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is there more truthful than Allah when it comes to speech, when it comes to the promises? Allah will never go against His promise. Allah's promise is more valid than mine and yours. And then anyone who can promise you that, you know what, your name is on this will for 1 billion. Allah's promise is more. So a mu'min should lead his entire life with such happiness, even if he's going through problems, because he knows I've been promised something way beyond the billions. Do you follow my point? Do you follow what I'm saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us this goodness. Definitely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one, like we said. Anyway, I've been distracted by a lot of movement that's happening here. So I just request the brothers to please calm down a little bit and try to minimize your movements, because it definitely does disturb when it goes beyond a certain point. So my beloved children, let me explain to you once again. Allah alone. We hope in Allah. We believe in Allah alone. I was speaking about Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Rahman is a quality of mercy that encompasses entire creation. What about Rahim? It's also from Rahmah. It's also from mercy. But Allah says, hang on. Those who believe, I have a special mercy for them. I have a special mercy. They will have contentment. They will have a mercy of a different level altogether. So Allah says, I am Rahim to those who believe. And I am Rahman to everyone else. Like I say, you find people who might not be good. They may be on the wrong path. They may be evil. But Allah says we will still give them in this world a lot sometimes because we are merciful. Sometimes you have non-Muslims, mashallah. They are good people. They treat you well. They are sometimes more honest than the Muslims. Don't you find that sometimes? They are more honest sometimes than the Muslims. We, on our part, should be kind to them. We should reach out to them. We should be honest when we deal with them. It doesn't mean that this person is a non-Muslim, so I need to treat them badly. No way, no way. Because they are created by the same Allah. Don't you believe in Allah? Don't you believe He is the creator? He made you, He made them as well. Subhanallah, He made everyone else. So much so that you have to be kind to animals too. Did you hear that? You have to be kind to animals. When you are kind to an animal, why will Allah reward you? When you see a dog. There was a man who quenched the thirst of a dog and Allah granted him forgiveness and Jannah, according to some narrations. He quenched the thirst of a dog. Why did Allah give him forgiveness when he was kind to a dog? Just a dog. Because the dog was created by the same Allah for a purpose. That's the creature of Allah. If Allah didn't want, He wouldn't have made dogs and pigs. But Allah made pigs as well and then told you, don't eat. Don't eat. Because He wants to test you. We're going to dangle the carrot and tell you, don't eat. Will you eat or will you not? If you really believe that Allah is the supreme, He is the deity, He is the one I worship alone, then whatever He says is final, it's final. I will follow. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this mercy in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah, I spoke about. Ar-Rahman, I spoke about. Ar-Rahim, I spoke about. And the surah starts off with Qul. What does Qul mean?
Say.
Say. MashaAllah. What does Qul mean? Say. So we are saying. Who is Allah telling to say? Is it us? Allah is instructing Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the lesson is for all of us. The lesson is for all of us. Allah is saying, say. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. He is Allah. The one. The one. Al-ahad. The one. You know Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu. When I read the surah, I always think of him. Because as they were whipping him and lashing him and dragging him through the hot desert in the Arabian Peninsula because he was a Muslim believing in Allah and he did not want to bow down or prostrate to sticks and stones and to idols. They kept on abusing him and harming him and hurting him and he just kept on repeating, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad, Ahadun Ahad. I believe in the one, only the one, the one and only the one, the one and only the one. Who is the one? Who was he referring to? Yes. Allah, I believe in the one who made me. I will only worship He who made me. Look, I want to explain to you something. If someone says, look, worship this person and they take a name. Worship that prophet and they take a name. Worship this grave and they take a name. Worship this tree and they show you where it is. You know what? The people who do that are taking such a big risk. For us, we know they're wrong. But if you were to argue with them just from a purely, you know, meaning just for argument's sake, they might tell you, no, how do you know that what you're doing is right? It's quite easy. It's very easy for me to explain. I worship whoever made me. I call him Allah. That's the name he chose for himself. He is the one. He is the irresistible. He is the one. He is the self-sustained. He doesn't depend on anyone. He is the most. He is the one I'm going to return to. He's the only one I worship. And I say, oh you who made me, I owe you my entire existence because you made me. But as for you, you are taking a name of a person. Now this is for argument's sake only. You could be right, you could be wrong. For us, they're wrong completely. But just to talk to them, we're saying, you could be right, you could be wrong. The fact that there's a risk involved, it's not good enough for me. You see the point? You understand what I'm saying? If someone worships, say, a prophet of Allah, and they worship them. And they say, look, we have to go to Allah through this prophet because that's it. You know, we're too dirty or we're too bad or whatever. We have to go through the prophet. Do you know what? In actual fact, they're risking their entire existence because you live once. And when you live once, you got to do things properly. If I say, oh, you who made me, I will worship you alone. Oh, you whom I'm going to return to, when I return to you, have mercy on me. I have taken zero risks. There's no risk involved. That's what makes Islam the most powerful religion on earth. Because there's no risk involved. Your relationship is between you and Allah. when it comes to worship. If you committed a sin, do you have to go to some? Do you have to come to me and say, Imam, I need to confess to you about my sin? Is that Islam? Is that Islam? You have to confess to Allah and Allah alone. That's what makes Islam so beautiful. Because I might be a bigger sinner than you. How many times we find, oh, this religious person has done something really bad, and you think, but even I didn't do that bad. May Allah protect us. So we develop a relationship with Allah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Right? Allah is the one. He is alone. He is the one. Allahu Samad. Allah is self-sustained. He is in no need of anyone. As-Samad has a deep meaning, but I want to use the common meaning of self-sustained. Allah, He stands alone. He's not in need of someone to balance. He's not in need of someone for anything, because He don't eat, He don't drink. He doesn't have needs like you and I. Allah is self-sustained. And then Allah says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Neither was He given birth to, nor does He give birth to. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Neither was He begotten, nor does He beget. Do you know what to beget? What that means? When husband and wife are intimate and they have a child thereafter, that is to beget. They beget. So for us to use the word begetting for Allah is actually blasphemous. We actually consider it an insult to Allah. You cannot say, Allah Himself says it's an insult to say that I have a begotten child. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. If others believe that, that's their belief. You know, we disagree with respect. We disagree completely with respect. And it's our right. This is why it's important for us to know how to deal with people we differ with. When you differ with someone, it doesn't mean you need to punch them. It doesn't mean you need to spew hate about them. You must articulate your opinion with evidence. You may try your best to convince as many people as you can about what you believe. But you will know they have an equal right. They have an equal right. They will also start talking. They will say, we believe we are right. They will believe you are wrong. It's okay. We are human beings. Allah will judge us on the day of judgment. But while we're on earth, we keep trying. We keep actually speaking to one another and so on. We will keep going on and on, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, in that discussion that is very intellectual and it is very respectful by the will of Allah. So why am I saying this? Because Allah says, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Neither was He begotten, nor does He beget. Neither does He beget nor begotten. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. That last verse is probably the most powerful from all of them. Allah says, there is nothing like Allah, nothing similar to Allah, nothing on par with Allah in any of His names or qualities. In any way whatsoever, you cannot have someone on the level of Allah. Even when we say Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, none of the names and qualities of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are exactly on par with that of Allah. We believe He's the best of creation. We believe He's the most noble of prophets. But He's not Allah. And He's not a part of Allah. And He is not on par with Allah. It's Allah first. And then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes after that. So that doesn't mean we disrespect the Prophet. That doesn't mean we don't like the Prophet. That doesn't mean we don't follow the Prophet, subhanallah. In fact, if you love someone, you need to prove it by actions. Can I explain it to you in a way that you youth will get excited? Okay. When you love someone, wow, mashallah, you love someone. Let's hope it's halal, inshallah, okay? You love someone. And you keep on saying, I love you, I love you, I love you is so easy. My dear brothers and sisters, my little children, let me explain. Don't become infatuated by someone who says, I love you. Even if they say it with tajweed, don't become infatuated. When they say, I love you, it doesn't mean they love you. It's just a word they're saying from their mouths. It's just a word they're saying from their mouths. Honestly, don't become too impressed by that. Because when someone says, I love you a million times, but there is no action that proves it, subhanAllah. You know, my parents, and I'm sure a lot of you, maybe your parents or your grandparents, I've never ever heard them say, I love you to each other. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. It was their culture more than anything else. It's correct. Maybe my kids have heard me say to their mom, I love you. They've heard it, I'm sure. And they even blush. Sometimes I say it purposely. Do you know why? I want my children to know that it's very normal. This is how you should be when you're married. And this is how you should talk to your spouse. You can say, I love you. You can hug them. You can kiss them. You're not intimate with them, but you can peck them in front of your kids so that the kids know there is love here. Wow, I'm going to be like that with my wife. Do you understand? But if you've never done it, sometimes it's a cultural thing. In the cultures, sometimes it's a little bit taboo. It's a little bit taboo, subhanAllah. But what you need to know is, the love is proven not by words, but by actions. You cannot say, oh Allah, I love you. Then you are worshipping everything besides Allah. You say, oh Allah, I love you. But when it comes to Salatul Fajr, you are busy sleeping. May Allah strengthen all of us. Say Ameen. Ameen. So that's why we believe that there is none equal to Allah. This is Suratul Ikhlas. It is the most important, one of the most important surahs in the Quran. Why? I almost said the most important, but the whole Quran is important. Someone asked me moments ago in an interview, speak about your favorite verse. I said, then I'll have to speak about the whole Quran because it's my favorite. The whole Quran is my favorite, right? Some people do have a favorite verse, but for me, every verse is amazing, subhanAllah. So we spoke about Suratul Ikhlas today. We spoke about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. We spoke about the fact that Allah, His names and qualities, we don't adjust them. We believe in them as they are. We also spoke about the fact that we will not render an act of worship to anyone and for anyone besides Allah. And I want to end off by telling you the most important thing. Are you ready to listen? Are you awake once again? You sure? So let me explain. I want you to do yourselves a favor. When you listen to a lecture of any speaker, you must listen to what amount of Tawheed and Aqeedah is in that lecture without the lecturer mentioning Tawheed and Aqeedah. Then you know, subhanAllah, that you are able to understand the speech. Because if you hear a speech and you cannot relate it to Tawheed and to Aqeedah without that speaker mentioning those two words, then you have lost. From the moment they start with Bismillah, automatically you relate it to Allah. When they say Ar-Rahman, you relate it to a name of Allah, a quality of Allah. Ar-Rahim, etc. So many things they will say. In fact, everything we have is from Allah and Allah alone. So we spoke today on Tawheed. On another occasion, we will speak about the importance of following the Prophet ﷺ sunnah and how it should be followed. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Like I said, we learn and we learn every day. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. My time is up. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته